Our text for this evening is found in verse 18. But let us read verses 17 and 18 first of all to get the context. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies." And our text tonight is made up of those four words, "Now then do it." Here in the second book of Samuel, chapter 3, we read about the campaign that Abner had embarked upon to persuade the elders of Israel to accept David as their next king. For you see, Saul was dead, having been killed in battle. Now Israel needed a king to rule over them. They needed a king to guide them. For that position, there were two candidates. One was a man by the name of Ish-bosheth, the son of Jonathan, of the household of Saul. And the other was David, the son of Jesse. One man was determined to have Ish-bosheth on the throne in Israel. And that one man, as we've mentioned, was Abner. Abner involved himself in a campaign to bring this about. And he was almost successful, because he had turned the majority of the tribes in Israel against David and for Ish-bosheth. And indeed, for a short period of time, Ish-bosheth did sit upon the throne in Israel. Then there came about a time of civil unrest. And there was a civil war in Israel between the two camps, the camp of Ish-bosheth and the camp of David. Now we're told in this third chapter, and in the opening verse, David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. For you see, Abner may have used all his powers of persuasion and all his influence to promote Ish-bosheth of the house of Saul. And as we've said, he almost succeeded. But David had a greater power on his side, because David was God's chosen king. David was the Lord's anointed. And so when Abner saw that things were going against him and against Ish-bosheth, he decided to go over to David's side. And so we read in the 12th verse, "And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, Whose is the land? Saying also, Make thy league with me, And behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. Now that all seems very honorable and well and good, but there's something wrong. You look at that verse 12, and there's something wrong with the words of Abner. Because Abner had promoted Ish-bosheth against Naboth. Abner had sought to turn the hearts of the people against Naboth. And when Abner saw that things were not going well for his king, he went over to David's side and he came to David. And he said to David, make thy league with me. In other words, the matter that's wrong here, the problem with the words of Abner is that there's no sign of repentance. There's not a word of apology. And he didn't come to David and ask for David's forgiveness. Instead, he came to David in a very proud, high-handed way. And he said, David, you make your league with me. As though to say to David, this would be a great advantage for you if you make a league with me. My, he was a proud man. And he came over to David's side, and then from that moment on, he began to promote David. You know, Abner reminds me very much of the person who, for years, indeed all their lifetime, served the devil, served their Ish-bosheth, and promoted the devil and his work and the god of this world. And then when things were going against them, they suddenly thought about the Lord. That has happened often enough, hasn't it? When things start to go against the way of the sinner, they suddenly become religious. And they start thinking about God and they turn to the Lord in their trouble. But once they're out of trouble, the Lord's forgotten about it. And they're back serving Ish-bosheth again. That's who Abner reminds me of. Because he came to David, but he didn't come in humility. He didn't come with an apology. He didn't come and ask for forgiveness. He didn't come to David and say, I'm sorry. Rather, he said, David, you join with me and you'll be all right. You will indeed become king. Of course, Abner had nothing to do with David becoming king at all. But nevertheless, Abner goes out and he seeks to promote David as Israel's next king. And then he goes to the elders of Israel and he says to the elders of Israel, you sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now then, do it. And he's saying, make David your king now. You thought about it in the past. Well, do it now. Make David your king now. And even though Abner, I believe, was not genuine when he came to David, yet we know that the Lord is able to make even his enemies to praise him. And here the Lord takes Abner, and the words that he spoke, and used them to his glory, even in the promotion of David as Israel's next king. And I want to take the words of Abner tonight, just as in the past we have taken the words of the Pharisees, When the Pharisees said in criticism of the Lord Jesus, this man receiveth sinners, it was meant as a criticism. But they spoke the truth when they said that. Glory to God, he does receive sinners. And so I want to take the words of Abner tonight. And I want to say to anyone saved in the meeting tonight, ye have sought for Jesus Christ in the past to be king over you. Now then do it. Think no longer about making Christ your king and savior. Let me say tonight, now then do it. Make Christ your savior now. We look at these words. The first thing we notice here in the words of Abner is a reminder. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel saying, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you, now then do it. In verse 17, in the opening part of his address to the elders of Israel, he said, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. He reminds them. Here's a reminder. He's reminding them of what they thought about David in the past. Here he reminds them, one, of their interest in David. As they sought David in times past and thought it would be good to have him as their king, well, obviously, they were interested in David. And Abner reminds them of that. He reminds them of their interest in David. When they expressed a desire in times past to have David, Abner reminds them. They had thought about making David their king. So Abner says, now then, do it. Do it. Don't wait any longer. Make him your king now. And I venture to say that there are some tonight, and you have some time in the past, thought about making the Lord Jesus Christ your king. And you thought about making Jesus Christ your Savior. Well, let me say then tonight, now, then, do it. Don't think about it any longer. But rather, do it now. In times past, you thought about becoming a Christian. Now, then, do it. In times past, you thought about giving your heart to Jesus Christ. Now, then, do it. Times past, you thought about staying behind in a meeting and getting right with God. Now, then, do it tonight. You thought about making Christ your Savior in the time of sickness. So often the Lord uses sickness to bring sinners to himself. He lays them on their back, as the Reverend Hamilton said one time when he was here. He lays them on their back that they might look up. That's true. And maybe in that time of sickness, you did look up. And you thought to yourself, I would need to get right with God. I would need to get saved. I say now. Now, then, do it. Maybe in a time of sorrow, you thought about giving your heart to the Lord. Nothing like bereavement. The passing of a loved one to make us think about eternity. See another life gone. never to pass this way again. Where have they gone? Gone out into eternity. When you've seen that one going out into eternity, you've thought about your own eternity. And you've thought about getting saved. And you've said, I would need to get saved, for if that was my death, where would my soul be? You thought about it in times past. Now, then, do it. You thought about it before. Tossed it over in your mind. I would say to you this evening, now, then, do it. Abner reminded the elders of Israel of their interest in David. And he was also reminding them of their impressions of David. They must have been somewhat impressed with this man, David, the son of Jesse. Something which caused them to seek him in time past to be king over them. Indeed, even while they were being ruled by Saul, even when they were being ruled and governed by Saul, they were thinking about David as king. I know that from chapter 5. Turn to the next page, chapter 5. And there we read in verse 1, then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that ledest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. And they were thinking about David in time past, even when Saul was their king. They had watched and been impressed by the behavior of David. Had he not gone out and slain Goliath? Had he not gone out at other times and defeated the Philistines? And they were impressed. What David had done had impressed them. And Abner now reminds them of that. And he's saying to the elders, do you remember when you were impressed with David? You thought about David being your king then? Well, why not make him your king now? Now, then, do it. We would say tonight, dear unsaved friend, maybe in times past you also have been impressed. You've been impressed with what Christ has done, and done for others, and done in the lives of others. You cannot help but be impressed. You have seen how King Jesus has changed and transformed the lives of others, and this has impressed you. Maybe you know someone who, before they became a Christian, was a hard drunkard or a blasphemer. Then you heard that got saved or that become a Christian. And you've seen the change in that person. You've noticed a change in their language. You've noticed a change in their outlook and in their countenance. And you've been impressed. Maybe you thought to yourself, well, whatever that man has or whatever that woman has, that's what I want. And you know that they had received Christ. And you said, I would like to be saved. I would like to be a Christian. You thought about it. And thought about it. And I say tonight, now then, do it. Do it tonight. Don't let another night pass. Don't let another day pass you by without you making Jesus Christ your King and Savior. These words of Abner would also remind the elders of Israel of their indecision about David. It was indeed commendable that they had thought about David and thought about making him their king. But that was really the problem. They hadn't gone any further than that. And the problem is today many people think about getting saved, but they don't get any further than that. And if you have in the past been thinking about it, now then do it. Do it now. Have you not stood in the valley of decision for too long? Is it not about time to accept Christ? Now then, do it. You may stand in that place, halting between two opinions for the rest of your days, until the soil is heard rattling off your casket. You'll have halted between two opinions and never decided for Christ. Never. Don't let that happen to you, for you have been told. What more, my unsaved friend, do you need to know about Jesus Christ? You've had the gospel story told to you over and over again. What more do you need to know? Now then, do it. Surely you don't need to know any more about the gospel. All you need to know is you're a sinner and Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you come to Him tonight, He'll save you. Now then, do it. You've been told. And you've had time. There have been those occasions when we've had the opportunity to speak to people about their soul. That the reply, the response we have got was, well, I need more time. Well, I'll think about it. Of course, that's only an excuse to get rid of the preacher. But they keep talking about more time. I remember the Reverend S.B. Cook telling us about going to visit a man, and he'd been visiting on a regular basis because he had to go into hospital. He was dying with cancer. And Mr. Cook told us that he would go in there every week visiting this man and exhorting him to come to Christ. And every time he would exhort him to get right and get saved, he said the same thing every time. I'll think about it. I need more time. And when it got near the end, Mr. Cook said to him, you don't have much time. You need to get saved now. And the man said the same thing again. I need more time. Let me think about it. And the next day, that man was in eternity. Now let me say this. Surely you don't need to know any more about the gospel. You've heard the gospel story many times. Surely you can't say tonight, but I need more time. What more time do you need? Why do you need so much time? It is time to seek the Lord. Now, then, do it. Seek the Lord now. You've been told. You can't say we're rushing you into it. You've had plenty of time. But still you tarry. Still the elders of Israel tarried. They hadn't decided. They hadn't made David their king. Even as Abner was speaking to him, still they tarried. And even as I speak tonight, souls are still tarrying, halting between two opinions. You may not have more time. You may not have much more time. In the words of Abner are my words tonight. Now. Now. Now then do it. What you've thought about, do it now. What you've considered, what you've contemplated, now then do it. It was a reminder. Then there was the recommendation. Because these words, the words of Abner, he's recommending David as their king. Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. He's recommending David. And as Abner recommended David to the tarrying elders, I recommend Jesus to tarrying souls tonight. I recommend Christ. Here we have in this recommendation a call. For Abner calls upon the elders of Israel to accept David as their king. Abner utters these words by way of a call to action. Because that's what was wrong. They were in a state of inaction. They weren't doing anything. They were holding between Ish-bosheth and David. Now they stood in the middle. And they hadn't decided one or the other. And now Abner calls them to take action. Sinner friend, I call you tonight to take action. I call upon you tonight to take Jesus Christ as your Savior. I recommend Him. I recommend Him. Having known Him for over 30 years, I can recommend Him. I can recommend Him as a wonderful Savior. I can recommend Him as a wonderful King. I can recommend Him as a wonderful friend. Friend who has never forsaken me. Not once. On some record. Not once. And I would call upon you tonight. Call upon you to act tonight and to make Christ your Savior. To make the one that I recommend tonight, to make Him your Savior and to make Him your Savior now. Now, then, do it. Can't afford to get saved tonight. Now, then, do it. There's also a choice here. Abner was bringing before the elders of Israel this choice. Who would it be, Ish-bosheth or David? Abner says, David's your man. You thought David in time past to be your king. Now then, do it. Choose David. That's what the gospel is. It's a choice. Is it Ish-bosheth or David? Is it Christ or Belial? Is it Christ or Barabbas? Is it heaven or hell? That's the choice. So what's it to be? Ish-bosheth. His name means man of shame. Man of shame. And so there on the one side stood Ish-bosheth, the man of shame. And on the other stood David. David means beloved. What a wonderful picture of Christ. He's beloved. For the Father has said, this is my beloved Son, our beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My sinner friend, tonight before you stands Ish-bosheth and David. Who's it to be? Before you tonight stands Christ, the King of Glory, or Satan, the God of this world. Who's it to be? Before you is heaven and hell. What's it to be? Before you tonight is salvation or damnation. What's it to be? Maybe we could say it and put it in the words of Moses. Moses said to Israel, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Yes, sinner friend, tonight I call heaven as my witness that in this meeting, in every gospel meeting I've ever preached, by the grace of God, I have said before you, blessing or cursing. I have said before you Christ or Belial. I have said before you heaven or hell. What's it to be? God is my witness tonight. You've thought about making Christ your king in the past. Now then, do it. Do it tonight. These words also speak of not only a choice, not only a call, but of a claim. When Abner called for the elders to choose David to be their king, he was exhorting them to claim David as their own. They needed a king, so Abner was saying, David is your king. Claim him now. Now then, do it. And that is what the gospel is all about. Claiming Jesus Christ as your King and your Savior. Will you not do it tonight? Will you not do as the dying thief did? And my, you have to admire the thief on the cross. When everybody around the cross seemed to be against him, that thief, that repentant thief, claimed Christ as his own. And they put that sign above the Savior's head, King of the Jews. They did it to mock him. But what did the dying thief say? He prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He accepted Christ as the king. And he wanted to be part of his kingdom. Will you do that tonight? You make Christ your king. Will you claim him tonight as your very own? So there was there the reminder. And there's also the recommendation. And there is also there the reason. Why did Abner recommend David? Setting aside the fact that Ish-bosheth's fortunes were failing, and he was getting weaker and weaker, but the house of David was becoming strong and stronger still. Why did Abner recommend David? What was the reason? Why did he say, you thought for David in times past to be king over you, now then do it. Why? Why did he recommend David over Ish-bosheth? What was the reason? Well, if I was tonight, or if you were to ask me why you should make Jesus Christ your King and your Savior, how would I answer you? How would be the best way for me, what would be the best way for me to recommend Jesus Christ to you? I would do what Abner did with David. I would point you to the person. There's no better recommendation than Jesus Christ himself. And that's what Abner did. For we read in verse 18, he says, now then, do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people, Israel, out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. Abner says, this is the reason. There's the reason why you should make David your king, because he's the Lord's chosen king. And he's Israel's chosen Savior. By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people. God, in anointing David, had raised up a Savior for Israel. And Abner, in recommending David as their king, simply pointed to the person of David. And sinner friend, tonight I would simply point you to the person of Jesus Christ. I couldn't give you any better recommendation for receiving Christ than the person of Christ himself. Why? Because just like David, David was God's chosen Savior. He chose David. Sent Samuel out to the house of Jesse and indicated to Samuel who of the sons of Jesse was to be the next king of Israel. And when David came in, the Lord told him, this is he, anoint him. He was chosen of God. He was not only chosen of God to be Israel's king, he was chosen of God to be Israel's Savior. And my friend, Jesus Christ is the chosen of God. Even those that stood around the cross recognized that. Did they not taunt him? Did they not say, come down from the cross, if thou be the chosen of God? Even they recognized. Dear sinner, tonight Jesus Christ is the chosen Savior. For you see, there's none other. There's no other Savior. Haven't they just spoke about one David? He just spoke about one king here. No other king. No other Savior. He's God's chosen Savior. And you have thought about accepting him in the past. I say then this evening, thou, now then, do it. Do it tonight. He's God's chosen Savior. He's God's complete Savior. He's a complete Savior. He's everything the sinner needs. And Abner says, now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, and not just the Philistines. I will save my people out of the hand of all their enemies. He's a complete Savior. Not only will he overthrow the Philistines, but every other enemy that comes against him, he will also overthrow them as well. He's a complete Savior. And Jesus Christ is the complete Savior. He'll save you from the hand of the devil. He'll save you out of the clutches of Satan. He'll save you from every sin. He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll save you. There's nothing lacking in him as far as a Savior is concerned. There's no situation in which he will fail you. There's not a problem that he cannot solve for you. There's not a burden that he cannot carry for you. There's not an hour in which he's not with you. There's not a moment in which he doesn't love you. There's not a difficulty in which he can't keep you through it all. He's a complete Savior. He's God's crowned Savior. Because you see, the elders of Israel took Abner's advice. And we read over there in chapter 5 and verse 1 again, then came all the tribes of Israel to David, all the tribes of Israel to David, unto Hebron, spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. That's what we are when we receive Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. But it goes on to say, also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel, and the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. They crowned him. They crowned him king. They had taken Abner's advice. Now then, do it. And sinner friend, tonight, I trust you also will take the advice that has been given. You thought about getting saved in the past. Now, then, do it. Tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God and gracious Father, by thy Spirit and the workings of thy Spirit, Lord, write the gospel message upon hearts. And O Lord, bring some soul or souls tonight to the feet of Christ. And O Lord, this evening we pray that they might take the words of advice that have gone forth from Thy truth tonight. And even now, right now, Lord, enable them to crown Jesus Christ the King of their life. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lord, tonight lead some soul to Calvary. Be with us, Lord, as we make our way home. Guide us, Lord, on the journey. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.